Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
All right.
All right. Oh, well, there we go.
Well, it's there like we go. You sparked it. It's like you caused it.
Right.
It's amazing.
From my brain to I don't even know what. Hey, everybody, I'm Kyle Rizdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we do around here.
I'm Molly Wood. It's Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, which means we might verge into the dark place after a long week, but it's not yet Friday. Hopefully, we will be smiling by the end, though. It is also Happy Veterans Day to Kai and all our veterans out there.
Thank you.
Thanks for our service, for your service and working. Thanks for working today. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah, I should have taken it off. I should take my birthday off and I should take Veterans Day off. I just should.
Yes, you should.
But I don't because I'm just not good at that stuff. But anyway, shall we move on?
Yes, let's move on to the news.
Okay. All right, to the news. I got a couple, one of which I was not surprised at and one of which I was. The first one that I was not surprised at was that Rivian, that new electric SUV and truck and Amazon delivery van company that went public yesterday, was up another 22% today. And here's the thing that kind of gobsmacked me about it, and it honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Rivian, which I think has an order for 100,000 vans from Amazon and has sold some, like, not terribly large number of vehicles at all, is now worth more than General Motors, which sells 8 to 9 million cars a year. And I know we did the whole Tesla thing when it became a trillion-dollar company and all of this, but the valuation just doesn't make any sense. And I fear that we're headed for a fall. And look, I'm all about the electric car space. And yes, it's great and it's good for the company. And I hope investors make a lot of money. And I hope the company pumps out zillions of cars, but they're not yet. And so how do you get like a $90 billion market cap on day two? I don't get it.
It is. I mean, it, yeah. There needs to be sort of a stock market fundamentals thing. Like, dear kids, this is what price to earnings ratio means.
Right. Exactly.
This is not that. These are marketing companies, right? They're not car companies right now. They're marketing companies and they're doing a great job at it. I mean, Tesla is making money, but the amount of money it's earning relative to its market cap is they're very far away. Let's say they're very far apart.
Very far away. Not even in the same like GM neighborhood. Anyway, so I thought that was kind of wild. Here's the thing that really surprised me in a not very good way. An article in The Guardian today about climate change and about the world's militaries. And it turns out, say Scientists for Global Responsibility, that the world's militaries combined and the industries that provide them their armaments are estimated to create 6% of all global emissions. Again, that's from Scientists for Global Responsibility. Now, when you think that commercial aviation is responsible for 2% of all global emissions, 6% is a lot. And here's the really gobsmacking part. Here's the thing. The emissions by a country's defense establishment are not held against them according to the Paris Treaty. They don't have to report that. It doesn't count.
Wow.
It's craziness. I had no idea.
Had no idea. That's absolutely astonishing.
Isn't it?
6%. And it's just automatically excluded. And apparently it was the case under the Kyoto Protocol after lobbying from, the U.S. government.
Of course. America. Yeah.
We just want to roll coal on those fast airplanes.
Right. That's right.
That really is astonishing. Yeah.
The giant ships.
Wow.
We can't, at least in the American Navy, all the really giant ships are nuclear powered. But I mean, come on, you know?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. How can we can't get there like from here if
how we fail.
You know, the American military can just do whatever we want.
Yep. The literal opposite of how we survive is how we fail, and this is that. To just carve out loopholes the size of, you know, well, the world's military. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Knowing is half the battle. So good job, The Guardian, for digging up that little factlet.
Yeah, for sure. Totally.
Woo.
Totally. Yep.
I mean, so on the climate front, I had started out with a true hollowed out shell Thursday story, which was the climate scientist from the UN who on Tuesday released a report saying, you know, that halfway through COP26, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Exactly.
That based on the, you know, utterly half-hearted, totally watered down agreements and comments that had come out of COP26 as of Tuesday, and that was before the U.S. and China at least had a surprise agreement to try to tackle this together, which, you know, was something but not a lot. But that based on these watered down promises, the world is on track for 2.5 full degrees Celsius of warming. Now, the what's considered the hard stop goal here is 1.5 degrees Celsius by the end of the century. And P.S., that's still not a good scenario, right? That's still a scenario in which there is massive, frankly, death, suffering, migration, you know, huge adaptation necessary, and that we're actually on track for much faster degree of warming of the type that will start to trigger collapses that we actually can't even predict. Like tipping points that will push us over into, you know, into things that like really pretty sober-minded scientists are referring to as the collapse of civilization. Like that's what a disaster COP26 has been so far. Like I'm not even trying. So instead of that, even though I totally talked about it, I decided to put in this other story, which is a little more hopeful because, as I have said over and over and over, the reason that I started doing all this climate coverage was upon hearing a climate scientist be like, oh, yeah, no, we're screwed. It's an engineering problem now.
Yeah.
And so call me a technocrat, but it is. So thank goodness we are evidently getting kind of tantalizingly close to nuclear fusion, which is, you know, evidently. So two things. One, there have been a bunch of scientific breakthroughs, specifically in China. There is a nuclear fusion startup called Helion, which raised $500 million, saying that it's developed new technologies that may make nuclear fusion viable. And to explain what this is, it's different from nuclear power. It's essentially an unlimited source of carbon-free energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of... And this has been like the pipe dream for a really long time. The science was too expensive. Yeah, like the, you know, technology didn't exist.
There have been false alarms.
We're getting closer and closer. False alarms. Like I'm sure that, you know, the oil and gas industry has been quietly disappearing scientists who are working on this. That's rank speculation on my part. But on the premise that we might be getting closer, there's kind of a great piece in Bloomberg that tries to imagine what that would mean. Like what a world of cheap, clean energy, essentially unlimited carbon neutral energy would mean in all of the ways that that, and the chain reactions, the almost unpredictable chain reactions that that would cause, right? Like he points out, is this guy Tyler Cohen. He's like, let's say, you can't use nuclear fusion to fly a jet plane, but you could definitely use it to split hydrogen and oxygen into clean hydrogen fuel and then replace fossil fuels in airplanes. You could have, you could desalinate water on a massive scale because it would just be like super cheap, right? Turn Nevada into a forest. You heating and cooling, forget about it. Do whatever you want. Like it just becomes this kind of magical enabler of things that will have profound influence. And so I bring it up mainly because it's a really interesting read, because I hope we get there, and also because, honestly, at this point, this is how we're going to get there.
Yeah.
We're going to have to invent it, invent our way out, because we are not getting any help.
We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time.
Well, I mean, we have...
I mean, I don't want to be the consumer here, right? Because, and well, it's like you were saying the other day, right? When I said, oh, it's voluntary, and you said, oh, it's voluntary until it's not, right? And really, it's not voluntary anymore. It all has to be mandatory, just morally and
It really
and humanity
does.
Was.
And we don't.
Anyway.
I mean, we don't have enough time, right? We are out of time in some ways.
Yeah.
But we have time to save what we can.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
Which sounds like a really depressing, sounds like a very Thursday way to put it, but that's where we are.
Very Thursday way.
Say what you can.
Yep. Yep.
Also, this story like went by a couple, I guess it was yesterday, and I saved it for today because it's just so hollowed out, Shell. The U.S. Department of Justice is suing Uber. Remember Uber? They're totally still around. They mostly just deliver food now. But apparently back when they were still picking up people and giving them rides places, when they had disabled passengers who needed more time to enter the car, Uber charged them a fee. Charged them a
classic
fee.
Classic Uber. That's
wait
back to,
time
like, the
fees.
Travis Kalanick days. Yeah.
Yep. Started in 2016. It kicks in 2 minutes after a standard Uber arrives at a pickup location and is charged until the car begins its trip.
Wow.
Uber said that's the average wait time fee charged to riders is less than 60 cents. The Justice Department was like, no, that's actually terrible. And they sued him.
Yeah. Just, you know, sorry, closing the door because of a kid playing handball against the wall. Anyway, it's terrible.
That's a real pick-me-up, though.
Kids are out of school today. Kids are out of school.
Yep. Yep, I know. Totally getting ignored because we're all working.
Because we're all working. Why are we not? We got things to do, man.
Come on.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right. Drew.
On the cute kid note, yeah.
Let's go.
Well, speaking of Veterans Day.
Can you guys hear that? Can
yeah,
you guys
she
hear
really,
womp,
I heard that.
Womp.
Dang.
Oh, my God. I think she's playing tennis out there or something. I don't know what she's doing.
Just wham. That sounds kind of fun. I want to play the interrupt the dad's podcast recording
that's right.
game.
That's right.
Oh, man. As someone with one cousin on call and one cousin actively in the U.S. Navy, I appreciated the news today. It made me smile that this is the first Veterans Day in 2 decades without any troops engaged in an active war overseas.
Yeah. Yeah. We should be, which is great news. We should be clear here. There are still American troops getting shot at in a lot of different places.
Definitely.
But the large scale ground activity has stopped. And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mine is a little off the wall. So have you clicked this link or no? Not yet.
No.
Okay. Hang on.
Okay. I'm going to do it now. Okay. I didn't want to spoil
it. So we all remember Mark Zuckerberg's rollout of the metaverse and how he did this to the camera spiel about what it's going to be. And then he took you into the metaverse and it was great. So Iceland,
what is this?
Clearly said, oh my God. And so they got some Icelandic dude who looks a little bit like Zuckerberg and they put him in a cool little Icelandic looking living room or something. And he just talks. So we got a little bit of the tape. This thing goes 2 minutes, but we've only got 30 seconds. Here we go.
Hi, and welcome to this very natural setting. Today, I want to talk about a revolutionary approach on how to connect our world without being super weird. Some said it's not possible.
Hang on.
Some said it's out of reach. To them, we say it's already here. Seriously, look, it's right here.
And he looks out the window onto the Icelandic ice scape, and then he goes outside, and it's water, and anyway, it's awesome. It's two minutes of the country of Iceland dicking on Mark Zuckerberg. I apologize. But it was great. It was great.
Trolling the bejesus
it was
out of
just
him.
Trolling.
Oh, my God, this is incredible.
That's an acceptable term. Yeah.
He totally really has good. the weird movements, the hand movements, and everything.
I know,
and
he's got the haircut and the whole deal. There's a little doppelganger going on.
This is incredible.
But I kind of love it.
Also, let's go to Iceland. I mean, I'm just saying, this is working. Well done,
Iceland
Chamber of Commerce.
I really want to. It's supposed to be gorgeous. Gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'll meet you there for spring break. Oh, he even has the sunscreen all over his face.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's incredible. This is incredible. Wow, good find.
Good find, huh? Yeah, Twitter's amazing. Anyway, that's my deal. That's my make me smile for today. I kind of loved it.
Really?
So there we go.
Really good one. Look at you. Yes. All right, try to top him, audience. Try to top him. Send us your make me smiles. Your other thoughts and questions, you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call us. Our number is 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. Also, you can write to us on the website, marketplace.org/makemesmart, and you can just attach a little audio file. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. All right, we're done. Back tomorrow for Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream. We'll do some Discord as well. 3:30 on the West Coast, 6:30 back East. If you don't want to miss a show, you know what to do, right? Subscribe. You can get a new episode straight to your phone or however you decide to get your podcasts. And we'll be here for you when you do.
The biggest Make Me Smile and Hollowed Out Thursday is when the show's over, and then tomorrow's show is happy hour.
Oh, and Friday. Oh, no.
It's the best part. Yep. Best part.
Okay, totally. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad.
Bridget Botner is the senior producer, and the interim director of On Demand is Donna Tam, a title that does not befit her awesomeness in the slightest.
Hey, everyone, it's Drew. We're planning some special surprises for Molly before she leaves, and we'd love your help. Send us your goodbye wishes for Molly so we can share them with her on her last week. You can email us with your note or a voice memo attachment at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Just put goodbye note for Molly in the subject line or leave us a voice message. Our number is 508-827-6278. That's 508-UB-SMART. Thanks for your help.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.